You're listening to Central Time here on the Ideas Network. I'm Rob Ferret. Coming up, 2022 has already been a record year for book challenges at libraries and schools around the country. We'll talk about issues related to book banning and intellectual freedom. First, it's the WPR Fall Member Drive. Tom Lujack joins me now. As a WPR listener, you know you're always going to hear something interesting when you tune in to Central Time. And that is all thanks to your support. Listeners provide the largest share of funding for WPR programs. When you give at WPR.org or 888-202-2552, you make this program and all the other stuff you hear on Wisconsin Public Radio possible.
Today is the start of a special two-day challenge. A group of generous members will give $25,000 in matching funds when 500 people, including you, step up to support the programs that you count on.
It's their way of encouraging you to join them in supporting the Wisconsin Public Radio programs that inform and inspire you and the entire state of Wisconsin.
Your participation right now, it's vital. Be one of the 500 people to meet this challenge before the end of the day tomorrow. It starts with your gift at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Now, why are we here asking you to give? Well, it's because a large slice of funding for WPR programs, the biggest slice, is listener support. So while all of our funding sources, state and federal governments, businesses, they are important, your contribution makes a huge difference. Wisconsin Public Radio has been able to change and grow over the years, over the decades, thanks to your support. Keep independent, high-quality programs on the air when you give right now at WPR.org or call 888-202-2552.
And you can keep your Wisconsin Public Radio pride on display when you carry the latest WPR tote bag. This medium-sized tote is handy for trips to the store, the library, or maybe a picnic lunch. Still going to have a few more days for picnics, I'm sure. Ask for yours with your gift of $10 a month or more at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
People often talk about the high quality of life here in Wisconsin. We've got great state parks, a big university system, wonderful libraries. WPR is part of the high quality of life here in the state.
On WPR, you enjoy lively discussions, in-depth news, great music, and entertainment. Invest in the variety that you enjoy right here on Wisconsin Public Radio by giving us your donation. Give right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Maybe you listened to WPR in school as a kid or in the car with your parents. Maybe you found us on your own. No matter how you first tuned in, you probably want to see Wisconsin Public Radio continue. It's an important part of Wisconsin.
If you've never given before, well, now's the time to do your part. Never too late to make that first contribution of, say, $10 or $20 a month. It's easy and it doesn't take long at all. Just go to WPR.org or pick up the phone and call 888-202-2552.
That member challenge is still in effect. When 500 people make a gift for WPR today and tomorrow, $25,000 from generous members will be unlocked for the WPR programs you rely on.
So support the programs that you value and show off your love for WPR with that latest WPR tote. The handsome blue and orange design will pop out as you carry it to work, on errands, or just out for fun. It starts with your gift of $10 a month or more at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
It's a great time to become a sustaining member. It's easy to set up convenient ongoing monthly donations from your bank account or your credit card. Get it rolling right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
We've heard from so many of you during today's member drive. Kay and Shano says, I love WPR. I listen to it every day, and I'm grateful for a source of information that I can trust. And over in Greenleaf, Roberta tells us, I love WPR and donate whenever I can.
That's fantastic. Thank you both so much for giving and being supporters of Wisconsin Public Radio. How about you? How important is Wisconsin Public Radio in your day, in your Wisconsin experience? Is it time to give? If you've never given before, if it's been a long time, we would really love to hear from you, especially with this big challenge going on right now. You can be a part of the team, part of the crew that unlocks that $25,000 challenge. Think about an amount that works for you and then make your very important gift. It takes just a few minutes online at WPR.org or make a phone call 888-202-2552 and thank you so much for your support. This is Central Time. earlier this month, the American Library Association released data on attempts at book removals and restrictions so far in 2022. Numbers are already outpacing all of 2021. From January to August of this year, 1,651 books were targeted for bans or restrictions in schools, libraries, or universities. That's more titles than in all of 2021. We're talking now about a recent increase in attempts to challenge books in schools or public libraries, and you could join in at 800-642-1234. Has this been an issue, concern over particular books at your local library or your local school? Do you think there are certain books that children shouldn't have access to? How do you want to see these things handled in libraries and school libraries? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234 or email ideas@WPR.org. Shannon Altman is an associate professor in the School of Information Science at the University of Kentucky. She studies censorship and intellectual freedom. Shannon, thanks for joining us today.
Thank you very much for having me.
What was your reaction to that data released by the American Library Association?
Well, it makes me sad because it means that there are children and teens out there not getting access to books that could be valuable to them. But I have to say, I'm not surprised. We have seen an incredible uptick in the number of challenges across the country.
Now, the ALA data is listing attempts to ban or restrict library resources. So a challenge at a library, for example, of course, can mean anything from a book removal to, you know, restricting it access by age. What goes into these individual counts of challenges to books?
Usually what happens is there is a concerned member of the public, often a parent, a guardian, who is concerned about a particular item. And the way that libraries like to see this handled is the concern goes to the library director, who can assess the concern, deal with the paperwork, form a committee to evaluate the book or the material in question, and determine whether that book is appropriate for the audience it's intended for.
Have things been working differently this year with this big jump in challenged books?
Yes, we have seen some different tactics being used. We've seen people bypassing the library and going to city council meetings, school board meetings, or social media, and frankly making sort of inflammatory accusations about these books or about librarians. And because it bypasses the library, it really leaves the librarians in a quandary about what to do and how to respond to that challenge in a respectful way and take those concerns seriously.
What kind of, are there patterns of books that you see being challenged in particular in this jump in 2022?
Yes, definitely there are patterns. Books that are by or about people of color or the LGBTQ community are the books most likely to be challenged. Sometimes when the protagonists are people of color or from the LGBTQ community, that makes certain people uncomfortable or uneasy.
And are there individual titles you've seen particular concern about?
Certainly. Those include titles such as Gender Queer, Lawn Boy, All Boys Aren't Blue, and The Hate U Give are some that come to mind. These are books that are often for teens or even older teens. Some of them are graphic novels. And as I said, some of these books, some images or phrases makes people uncomfortable. However, for some of the teens and children reading these resources, these books are really a lifeline, a salvation. They open windows of possibility to youth who may be struggling about various things.
We're talking about book challenges in schools and libraries in 2022 with Shannon Altman, associate professor in the School of Information Science at the University of Kentucky. The American Library Association sees a big jump in challenges to books at libraries and schools. You can join in if you'd like at 800-642-1234. What are your thoughts on a jump in book challenges over the last couple of years? Has this been an issue in your local community? If you are a library patron, if you work at a library, love, or a school library, love to hear from you what you're seeing, how you handle book challenges in normal times, if things have been different over this last year or so. Call in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. You can also email ideas@wpr.org. We'll pick up the conversation coming up here on Central Time. This is Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. We're talking about a record number of books targeted for bans or restrictions at schools and libraries this year. Shannon Altman stays with us, associate professor in the School of Information Science at the University of Kentucky. We're looking at new information from the American Library Association. You could join in at 800-642-1234 with your thoughts, maybe your experiences as a patron, a parent, a teacher, a librarian yourself when it comes to challenges to the materials on offer. Join in at 800-642-1234. Let's bring on a caller now. Vivian is with us in Green Bay. Vivian, hello.
Hello. I've worked 15 years in public schools, elementary and middle school, and the library is a resource, much like a grocery store. Just because I don't want to eat hot peppers doesn't keep me out of the store. Children choose these books. If they have an interest, polar bears, I would assist them in finding books about polar bears. And if teachers request a group of resource books to fit the curriculum, we would provide that. But the library, it's a resource. It's a choose what you want for the most part. And I don't know why the library is just being bashed.
And Vivian, can I ask, in your 15 years working at public schools, did you see challenges? Were there concerns about the material at your school library in those days?
Yes, we did. Actually, some of the challenges came from staff. And in particular, that was a politically motivated challenge. And they're handled accordingly. If you have a challenge, and parents are always welcome in the library. So a challenge will be recorded and acted upon, and if it's warranted, a book could be removed.
Vivian, thanks a lot for sharing your experience with us. Shannon, that Vivian's describing, again, that process you were talking about, there are ways to bring these issues up.
Right. I think Vivian had a great point. I also want to emphasize what she said, that libraries offer a wealth and a diversity of resources. Not every book is for every child or every family. And we encourage parents to work with their children, their teens, to pick out books that are appropriate for their family, that are appropriate for that child. If there's a book or a resource that you don't like for your family, then we suggest you pass it by and choose something else.
Thanks for that call at 800-642-1234. You mentioned the book Gender Queer. That was number one from the ALA on the most challenged books of 2021. I poked around online to see what people were saying. There were some parents saying, you know, I really like this book. It helped me understand concepts of being genderqueer that I had no understanding of before. But it's a graphic novel. It's got some graphic images, sexual images, and they were uneasy, had concerns over it being available on a shelf for different age groups. How do you hope libraries and schools address those concerns and thoughts?
Well, I think the first thing to say is that this book is not available in elementary schools or middle schools. It's a high school book. It's for upper teens. Secondly, if parents feel like this book is not right for their family, they should be working with their own children and with their children's librarians to find resources that would be more appropriate and more welcome in the family. But, you know, for thousands and thousands of kids, this book would be a miracle, a lifeline. It would really help them understand themselves or maybe a friend or a family member.
Over the years, we've seen different types of concerns and challenges to books or taking books out of curriculum. One comes up with, an older title that may have inflammatory, racial language, stuff that we probably wouldn't want our kids saying these days. I'm thinking, the Huckleberry Finns and books like that. How have you seen those kind of issues get handled in schools and libraries?
Sure, that's really a controversial issue, and I'm glad you brought it up. Some schools have responded to these concerns by removing these books from the curriculum, sometimes removing them from the library. Other schools have said, look, this is of historical significance. What we need to do is be more thoughtful and appropriate in how we teach and how we discuss this. Maybe children should not be reading that passage out loud in class. Maybe the teacher needs to have a discussion about appropriate language, historical context, and so on. I think there are ways that we can do this in a thoughtful manner. And, credit to young people, they can understand nuance and difficult subjects.
Now, you've studied librarians' opinions on intellectual freedom and the importance of intellectual freedom in libraries. What kind of things have you found in your research?
In general, intellectual freedom is one of the foundations of librarianship, in America. We are about providing access to information, and that's really what intellectual freedom is about as well. I have found that in school libraries, the focus is on matching the right kid with the right book, looking at reading level, interest level, maturity level. Sometimes intellectual freedom comes in, a little bit further in the background there. But in public libraries in particular, we really believe that intellectual freedom should drive what librarians are doing, have a wealth of resources available, and then there are options for everyone to pick from to find a book that is meaningful to them.
As you kind of alluded to earlier, Shannon, a lot there are conversations out there that are very heated, a lot of controversy sometimes. What would you hope a community conversation about, the materials at a library or school should look like, could look like in a way that really best serves the community?
Well, I think that's a great point. We do want to serve the community, and we all want to serve the kids in the community. I think it's important to remember that no one wants children to have access to pornographic or obscene materials. Nobody wants that, including teachers and librarians. Sometimes there's a difference of opinion about what is obscene, but there is a strict legal definition there that can help us. Really, what this is about is materials that make some people uncomfortable or images that some people prefer not to see. And in those cases, we really should just turn to other resources. In a community conversation, I'd like to see respect from both sides. I'd like to see us starting from an understanding that we all want what's best for children. And I'd like to see us working towards reasonable compromises that satisfy the greatest number of people.
Shannon, we'll leave it there. Thanks again for joining us today.
Thank you so much for having me.
That's Shannon Altman, associate professor in the School of Information Science at the University of Kentucky. She studies censorship and intellectual freedom. She talked to us about book challenges at schools and libraries in 2022 so far. According to the American Library Association, a record number of individual titles, already more in 2022 challenged than in all of 2021. Coming up, Wisconsin's migratory birds are in flight. We talked to an expert on our state's birds about what we can see in the sky and where they're all going. First, it's the Wisconsin Public Radio Fall Member Drive. Tom Lujak joins me now. You count on the Ideas Network for informative, interesting discussions. We rely on you to keep programs like this one going strong.
Listener support is the largest source of funding for WPR programs. That's why your gift of any amount right now makes such an important difference. So go to WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Make an even bigger impact. When you give right now, We're going to release $25,000, a challenge for members here. When 500 people, including you, make a gift in support of WPR programs by the end of the day tomorrow.
A group of generous members created this challenge to inspire your support of the programs that you and the entire community rely on.
Let's meet that challenge. Your gift of any amount right now makes a difference. It gets us one step closer at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
In the last segment, we just heard we heard about efforts by some people to ban certain books in communities around the country. These are the kind of conversations you can count on from Central Time every day, every week.
WPR is listener supported, and that means it's your donation at WPR.org or 888-202-2552 that makes the many topics you tune in for every day possible. Choose the amount that works for you and then make your gift.
When you give today, become a sustainer. As a sustaining member, you'll give an amount, say $10 or $15 a month, that will then automatically come out of your bank account or credit card on a monthly basis. Your monthly gift will continue until you ask us to make a change.
This means we can depend on you. We can count on you the way you count on us. Day in, day out, year in and year out, you're still in control. You can change your giving at any time. Become a sustainer right now at WPR.org or call 888-202-2552.
You know, I don't think we have to remind anyone who watches television here in Wisconsin that it's an election year.
Wait,
if you
what?
Know what I mean.
I didn't know about this.
Oh, yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Wait. Yeah, that thing.
That thing. You know, you can rely on Wisconsin Public Radio for the campaign coverage that you need as you head to the polls.
You and everyone around Wisconsin has access to nonpartisan election info. That's an essential public service. And you make it possible with your gift now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And as Rob said a moment ago, as the donor, you get to decide how much to give. And maybe $100 or even $200 a month is the right amount for you.
That might be what you spend every month on a takeout or entertainment, whatever, things you enjoy that make life better, just like listening to Wisconsin Public Radio. The important thing is that you decide what amount is right for you and then make your gift at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And remember, a group of generous donors will give $25,000 in challenge funds when 500 people, including you, step up to support the programs that you count on.
And you can show your support for WPR and ask for the limited edition WPR tote. It's great for books or groceries or whatever you want to put in it. You get to decide. This tote will be your new favorite friend. It's yours when you give $10 a month or more online at WPR.org or call 888-202-2552.
If you're a sustaining member, make ongoing monthly gifts. It will make such a big difference. Just go to WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
You count on WPR for great conversations every day. We count on you to help pay for it. Make your gift right now at WPR.org or call 888-202-2552. And thank you. This is Central Time. I'm Rob Barrett. Coming up, a Wisconsin bird expert joins us to look at the fall migration season and the birds in our state heading south for the winter. First, it's the Wisconsin Public Radio Fall Member Drive. Tom Lujak joins me. Our goal in this drive is to make sure that you keep getting your favorite programs like Central Time.
And your gift of any amount is so important because your support provides the largest piece of the funding here at WPR. So pick up the phone, 888-202-2552, or go to WPR.org.
A group of generous public radio members have come together to create a challenge to inspire you to support Wisconsin Public Radio. Here's the deal. Over the next 2 days, this is today and tomorrow, when 500 people give, WPR will secure an extra $25,000.
And Rob, we have good news. So far, 150 people have stepped up to the plate, and so we're on our way to getting to that matching goal. Your gift right now will really help. Donate any amount at WPR.org or 888-202-2552, and you'll enjoy or rather join and probably enjoy this exciting challenge.
Now, you've thought sometime like, oh, I'd love to give, but I can't make enough of a gift to make a difference. Well, first of all, no, that's not true. Every bit counts and every bit adds into the thousands of people who give. That ends up being the largest source of funding for WPR programs. But now in particular, that gift that maybe you think is too small to bother with, it never was, but now it's one more toward that goal of $500 that's going to lock that $25,000. So now is a great time to make that gift. Do it at WPR.org or call 888-202-2552.
Maybe giving a dollar a day is the right amount for your Wisconsin Public Radio listening. When you think about it, a dollar a day is a great value. It's less than a cup of coffee or a soda or a day of cell phone service.
That dollar a day comes out to $30 a month. You could set that up as a monthly transfer from your bank account or a charge to your credit card. Make your gift right now in the amount that's right for you at WPR.org or call 888-202-2552.
This member drive, ask for the new WPR tote bag. The sturdy, USA-made, natural cotton bag features a vibrant orange and blue design to showcase your love for Wisconsin and WPR. With shoulder-length handles, it's perfect for trips to work, the grocery store, and everywhere in between. Where would you bring your WPR tote bag?
I bring my tote bag to the grocery store and carry all my groceries in it, and I love it.
It's good to take a WPR tote bag to the park and put it in a spot where you know someone else is going to see it, and then they can go, oh, I love WPR, and then maybe you've made everyone's day a little happier.
Where wouldn't I bring my WPR tote? I feel like it's useful everywhere, even if I'm just showing off my WPR.
Ask for the new WPR tote bag with your gift of $10 or more a month. Here's how.
Make that gift right now online at WPR.org or call 888-202-2552 to make your donation. It's Central Time. Rob Ferret here with Tom Lujack. Your support during this fall member drive makes all your favorite Wisconsin public radio programs possible. Your gift of $10 or $20 a month or whatever amount you choose, that's the right amount to give.
And giving to WPR is so easy. All it takes is a few minutes of your time and a gift of any amount, say $10 a month.
That donation is going to come back to you each and every day in the form of engaging programs. Show your support at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. Be glad to have you on the team.
You know, your gift right now says, I value this program. I want more of it. It makes me think. It makes me laugh. Well, you fill in the blanks on how you feel when you hear this program. These are powerful feelings, and you make a powerful statement when you support what you value, what you believe in. So give now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
That's a great time to give because our member challenge is still in effect. When 500 people, counting you, make a gift for WPR, $25,000 will come from generous members for the WPR programs you rely on.
So support the programs you value and show off your love for WPR with the latest WPR tote. The handsome blue and orange design will pop to everybody as you carry it to work, errands, or for fun. It starts with your gift, $10 a month or more at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Paul in La Crosse says, I'm super grateful for your compassionate, thoughtful interviews. Thank you, Paul, for the kind words and for your gift. How about you? Support great radio here in Wisconsin and the WPR.org website with just a ton of information on it. Make your gift right now at WPR.org or call 888-202-2552. And thank you. This is Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. The National Audubon Society unveiled a new online bird migration explorer tool. It lets users interact with a map that shows the migration paths of birds across every state. You can follow the flight paths of, say, black poll warblers or trumpeter swans to see how they go north and south throughout the year. Fall migration is already rolling for a lot of birds, others getting ready to take flight soon. Our next guest wrote the book on Wisconsin birds and is here to help us learn more about the wildlife in the sky this time of year. You could join in at 800-642-1234. Have you gone out to watch the birds migrate this season? What birds are you seeing show up in your area? What questions do you have? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234 or post on the Ideas Network Facebook page. Charles Hagner is the director of Bird City, Wisconsin, and the author of the American Birding Association Field Guide to Birds of Wisconsin. He was previously editor-in-chief of Birdwatching Magazine. Chuck, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Hi, Rob. It's a real pleasure to be on the show. Thanks for having me.
I understand, birds have already been showing up on radar, so many of them in the air during this migration. We're like right in the middle of some big migrations, right?
We absolutely are. In my years as the editor of Birdwatching Magazine and the time that I spent working on my own field guide, I realized that really the four seasons that we humans observe doesn't really apply to birds. In fact, I came to think that there's really only two seasons. There's north and there's south. And we are definitely in the southward part of the year now.
Now, what kinds of birds are showing up in Wisconsin that we might not see the rest of the year? You know, this is our one chance during the migration season to spot them.
Well, the birds that come the farthest to reach us here are undoubtedly the shorebirds. Almost all of the shorebirds that we see along the shores of Lake Superior or in Green Bay or down along the shore of Lake Michigan, where I am, breed. They make their nest up in the Arctic, and where the breeding season, the summer season, is extremely short. So those birds may have laid their eggs or made a nesting attempt in that brief summer window and then been on their way as early as July 4th. So they've been moving south since through July into August, and they're moving now. So they are birds that we don't get to see, or we get to see only briefly. And that is definitely one that a lot of bird watchers like me really look forward to seeing.
I saw, I guess, a fun fact, red-winged blackbirds, which is a bird I can identify because their description is their name. I appreciate that. I don't really think of them as migrating. They do, I guess, head south, but only as far as Illinois?
Red-winged blackbirds form large congregations, and they mass together and form huge flocks that fly as far south as the Gulf Coast states.
Oh, they do go that far.
Sometimes that migration can be just truly awe-inspiring. I remember one time I was traveling with some friends. I used to live in the Washington, D.C. area, and we were driving down the Delmarva Peninsula to see a snowy owl that had appeared early. And the migration of grackles and red-winged blackbirds was so huge that it formed a long line of dark birds flying overhead. And it was like some of the old descriptions that you read of the passenger pigeon. It was a long line of birds that stretched from one horizon line to the other. It was truly awe-inspiring.
I don't know that I've ever seen that. That's a super common bird here. What am I doing wrong?
Well, they're around. And they're also one of the reasons that people like me really get excited by red-winged blackbirds is that they arrive very early in the spring. So when we have grown tired of shoveling and we're sick of cold and we think that maybe spring or summer will never arrive, when we finally hear that red-winged blackbird call, it's a great sign that, the snow is going to melt and there will be a time when we won't have to be leaning on the snowblower anymore.
Now, what kind of birds do we get to see all through the winter? I can name cardinals, I know, because I see them in my backyard through the winter. Who else likes to hang out through the winter?
Well, there's Wisconsin Society for Ornithology lists they list exactly 442 birds on the state list. And of those, only about 230 or so breed in the state. And there's about 40 or so, maybe 48 or so that stay all year round. Some of them are urban dwellers, very familiar characters like pigeons and doves and starlings, the ubiquitous house sparrow, but also some interesting birds like the peregrine falcon, which is really just taken to living in urban areas. Others are nomads like waxwings and robins. Contrary to what most people think, the robin does not really migrate very far for in the winter. You can find large groups, large flocks of robins throughout the winter. They'll move around the state looking for sources of open water and also for usually fruit and other sweet stuff to eat. And then a whole pile of cavity nesting birds like woodpeckers, chickadees, nuthatches, starlings. These are birds that find shelter inside, either an old tree, an old woodpecker hole, or they excavate their own holes, and then they're able to take shelter during the winter. So there's a number of birds that we see all around, and I mean, all throughout the entire year. Some of the most interesting ones for me are the birds that actually do migrate, but they don't leave the state. There's a number of birds like that, like bald eagles is a good example on a continental scale, because even though we see bald eagles all year round, their population grows during the winter time because the numbers in the population here in the state are augmented by all these birds that come from the Upper Peninsula and Canada and points north as they move down in search of open water.
Talking to Chuck Hagner, director of Bird City, Wisconsin, author of the American Birding Association Field Guide to Birds of Wisconsin, looking at this fall migration season. You can share your sightings over on the Ideas Network Facebook page. Want to listen to a sound that I love hearing, the sound of the migrating sandhill crane. And Chuck, I didn't grow up in Wisconsin. My wife did, and she's just... She loves that we hear sandhill cranes. They've been such an amazing recovery story here in the state. Can you talk about sandhills a little?
Sandhills are the bird that inspired Aldo Leopold and other naturalists and conservationists in our state's history. And they really are just a true sound of Wisconsin. You can find them. I spent a lot of time on the sidelines of my daughter's soccer team, and it's been more than once that we shared that field with sandhill cranes, even though we're in the Milwaukee area. Watching them and hearing them fly overhead is a real treat, and it's also one of the things that makes fall migration quite spectacular if you don't mind traveling a little bit, because some of the gathering places for sandhill cranes as they make their migration are nothing short of spectacular. One is up in Crex Meadows in the northwestern part of the state. Another is at Jasper Pulaski National Wildlife Refuge in Indiana. And there's a number of others that where you can see sandhill cranes in huge numbers. And that is a great sight.
All right, we've got another call, a bird call here. Warblers fly over Wisconsin. Here's the, I'm not familiar with this one, the American Red Start. All right, I don't know much about warblers. Don't know if I could pick them out of a lineup. Chuck, tell us about them.
No, the warblers are the family of birds that really gets the pulse racing for almost any bird watcher. They arrive in the spring, typically in like one big huge wave at the end of April and the beginning of May, and they're delightful to see because unlike some other birds, warblers wear breeding plumage that is frequently characterized by bold wing stripes, bright colors on the head, eyelines. They're beautiful to see. And many of them nest in the state, not all of them. Some continue up farther north. And when they return in the fall, as they have been for since, say, the end of August until now, they wear their non-breeding plumage, which is in many cases not as vibrant. But in the Red Start's case, it's still quite a stunner to see. It's an all-black bird with white underparts, but with these beautiful bright orange markings on either side of the chest and on the tail. It's a that's the male. It's a very beautiful bird.
So we're going to call her. Mark is with us in Two Rivers. Mark, hi.
Good afternoon. You were just talking about sandhill cranes. I live in the Two Rivers area. I moved here about 24 years ago, and seeing a sandhill crane 24 years ago was a very rare. Now we see them all the time. In fact, I just saw some a moment ago.
Nice.
Several of them, in fact.
Mark, thanks a lot for sharing that sighting with us. I appreciate it. Now, Chuck, before I let you go, I want to ask you about Bird City, Wisconsin. You're looking to make, I understand, bird-friendly communities. What can people do?
Well, Bird City, Wisconsin is a program that was started by Milwaukee Audubon Society and is now run by the Western Great Lakes Bird and Bat Observatory. Our purpose is to recognize cities and other communities throughout Wisconsin for the steps they take to make their communities more bird friendly and to educate their residents about how birds make life better. You may have seen some of our signs in some of the cities that you might drive through. There's a pretty orange and green sign that shows a couple of barn swallows flying overhead, an urban sort of like setting. And these are communities, those signs are one of the ways that we recognize communities. They get those signs when they satisfy a number of criteria that by which they prove that they really have taken those steps and they really have tried to be bird friendly.
Chuck, we'll leave it there. Thanks a lot for joining us today.
It was my pleasure. Thanks for having me.
That's Charles Hagner, director of Bird City, Wisconsin, author of the American Birding Association Field Guide to Birds of Wisconsin, with us today to share more about the state's migratory birds heading south for the winter. You can keep sharing your sightings, by the way, over on the Ideas Network Facebook page. Now it's the fall member drive here at Wisconsin Public Radio. Your support is the foundation of funding for Wisconsin Public Radio programs. It's the largest piece. Tom Lujak is with me to encourage you to make your gift in support of the programs you count on right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Make an even greater impact when you give right now. $25,000 will be released when 500 people, including you, make a gift in support of WPR programs by the end of the day tomorrow.
A group of generous Wisconsin Public Radio members have created this special challenge to inspire your support of the programs you and your entire community rely on.
So let's do this. Let's meet this challenge. Your gift, any amount right now, makes a difference at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
In that last conversation, we looked up at the skies and at all the amazing birds making their way out of Wisconsin for the winter or through Wisconsin for the winter, a changing wildlife scene here to keep track of what's going on. It's an example of the kind of Wisconsin-focused conversation we have, helping us understand what is going on in our backyards, whether it's birds flying through, what's going on at the state legislature, and all points in between. That's what you can count on here on Central Time.
And, of course, WPR is listener-supported. That means that your donation at WPR.org or 888-202-2552 makes the many topics that you tune in for every day possible. So choose an amount that works for you, and then please make a gift.
Take your Wisconsin Public Radio pride on the road with the new WPR tote. With a vibrant orange and blue design, your support of the WPR programs you value is going to be on full display. Ask for yours with your gift of $10 a month or more right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
I've been a public radio listener for as long as it's been around. It's a long time. Public radio for me is pretty much the only kind of radio that I would choose to listen to. My name is Penny, and Wisconsin Public Radio is my source for programming I can't get anywhere else.
Go to WPR.org or 888-202-2552 to make your donation during this fall member drive. It's Central Time. Rob Ferret here with Tom Lujak. The WPR programs you enjoy are possible thanks to your support. Your gift of $10 a month or $100 a month, whatever amount you choose, really makes a difference for our entire community.
You might be sitting there saying, well, how much should I give? You know what? It's up to you. Your contribution of any amount will be turned into programs that'll keep both you informed and the rest of the community informed and entertained throughout the year.
And your gift right now in any amount will count toward that 500 gift challenge today and tomorrow to get that $25,000 challenge. So make your gift right now in the amount that is right for you at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. Thank you for making this investment that serves your whole community.
If you've never given to Wisconsin Public Radio before because you don't think you can give enough to make a difference, well, think again. It's gifts from tens of thousands of people combined together that make WPR programs possible.
Many first-time donors will give $5 or $10 or $20 a month for their WPR listening. You decide the amount that works for you and then join that team effort with your gift right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
The team effort that Rob is talking about, a group of generous members will give $25,000 in challenge funds when 500 people, including you, step up to support the programs that you count on.
And pick up the Wisconsin Public Radio tote when you give. It's great for your books or your groceries or your miscellaneous stuff, you name it. This tote will be your new favorite on-the-go accessory. Ask for that tote when you give. $10 a month or more at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And remember, if you're a sustaining member making ongoing monthly gifts, well, we thank you. Make today the day you increase your support of WPR by $5 or $10 a month, whatever amount you choose, at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
You count on us for great conversations. We count on you to help pay for it. Make your gift right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552, and thank you.